Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. The Lord said to him, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm speaking about being awake. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm reading verse 34. "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." The word "awake" in Strong's is number 1594. It comes from some other words, which means figuratively to arouse oneself out of a stupor, to be awake. In the book "Wake Up, Time is Running Out," Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 1, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "Are you spiritually asleep? I want to share some important truths with you. Embracing these truths will set you on the right course for developing a deep and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. These truths changed my life, and if you will believe and obey them, they will change your life as well. Some truths in this book are repeated many times. They're repeated because they are crucial and life-changing. And if you do not take them seriously, your spiritual life will not change. You can live the sinless life by trusting God with all your heart, hearing and obeying His voice. The knowledge of God that you receive from Him each day is so that you can follow Jesus." John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous." Verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." If you're following Jesus, you cannot be following the devil. If Jesus is Lord, He will give you the knowledge you need to know now. The devil will give you the knowledge of good and evil to feed a confidence in the flesh, to make the decisions without asking God. And Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, I'm reading Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." The word "darkness" in Strong's is number 4655. It comes from another word which means shadiness, that is obscurity, literally or figuratively, darkness. The priority is conviction at salvation, and for you to live in the light as He is in the light. That salvation will deliver from darkness by accepting the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Do not enslave yourself again using the knowledge of what is good and evil and relying on the wisdom of this world. You will begin to deceive yourself that you have all the information and lose sight of the cross. The power of darkness is not increasing these last days. However, there is no defense against the power of darkness if you are proud and not submitted to God, and using what He provides by the Spirit. At salvation, you were translated from one kingdom to another by humbling yourself. Before you came to Christ, you were doing your own will, and you thought you were free. But that's a lie. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By obeying the lust of the flesh, the devil could control you easily. When you were in the world, the devil helped you make decisions based on how you feel and think. You were ignorant of the consequences of having what you want when you want. You started listening to a wrong voice at that time for the sake of your flesh. Now that you're born again, you should be seeking righteousness. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul was not seeking outward righteousness, but a righteousness that included suffering in complicated situations, and faith in God and his word to deliver him again and again. Paul was convinced that he could move God, win Christ's approval, and get God's resurrection power doing what God wanted. It was not a matter of keeping rules or outward appearances, but acting correctly in situations predetermined by God for his glory. He even decides what you need to do or say in such circumstances. We read in Psalms chapter 34, verses 3 to 9. This is in the Psalms, chapter 34, starting in verse 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivered them. Verse 8. O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Joseph Hedgecott writes in his book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, on pages 114 and 115. Years ago, I was in the security business and I worked at a large outdoor restaurant. My job was to keep people from sitting on the cars and enforce the rules of the business. I had to deal with drug gangs. I believed I was going to be killed doing what God said to do. When I finally had a major confrontation, not only did I have the peace that passes all understanding, I had joy. The presence of God came on me in a strong way as I faced 25 men who were planning to kill me. All I wanted to do was laugh, but the situation was not laughable. I faced the gang leader, who was a big man, and tried not to grin. I felt no fear or terror. I told him to either obey the rules or leave. He replied, I'm not doing either one. My answer was that he had no choice. He had to do one or the other. The leader said, Are you crazy? I can snap my fingers and you are dead. I replied, Go ahead and kill me. When you do, the owner will call the police. They will come and arrest you. Either way, you are leaving. He was so angry. His veins were standing out on his neck and face. All of a sudden, fear came on him. He waved his hand in the air and all of them ran to their motorcycles and left. I stood there with peace and joy, wondering what had happened. I always had a reputation of being cool under pressure, but this went beyond what I thought was possible. It was amazing how you can hear the Lord say something in a threatening situation because you have his peace. If you do not have his peace, your mind will try to find another option to deal with the situation. I had no thoughts or plans as I faced the gang because I knew God promised to take care of me. Joseph would say, if God delivers you into a trial or difficulty, then he is more than able to deliver you out of it. Any doubts in Joseph Edgecourt that God could do what he promised were removed in a life-threatening encounter, and this was necessary for the sake of his calling. Your life will magnify his name when you let go and let God. If you cannot trust him in these situations he puts you in, then you will only have an outward righteousness. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verses 8 to 10. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me. Verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. His ways are higher than man's ways. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of righteousness. So we just need to hear, trust, and obey, even when it makes no sense. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The devil wants you to fall asleep. Believe lies that you are automatically righteous by being born again, not breaking any man-made rules and regulations, living a comfortable religious life. You may not know what to do in every situation, but your righteous response should always exceed those around you with wrong priorities and moral self-righteousness when there's a trial or difficulty. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25. This is Proverbs chapter 10, I'm reading verse 25. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Proverbs 10:25 says, when the whirlwind passes, the wicked are no more, but the uncompromisingly righteous have an everlasting foundation. If you're not uncompromisingly righteous, you will be overcome. Those who are lukewarm, serving two masters, will be swept away at the end. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. In the Living Bible, Hebrews 2, 1-3 says, so we must listen very carefully to the truths we have heard, or may drift away from them. For since the messages from angels have always proved true, and people have always been punished for disobeying them, what makes us think that we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation announced by the Lord Jesus himself and passed on to us by those who heard him speak? In one of his sermons, Charles Finney said, by all means, keep clear of the idea, both in theory and practice, that a minister is to provide revivals alone. Many people are inclined to take a passive attitude on this subject and feel as if they had nothing to do. They have employed a minister and paid him to feed them with instruction and comfort, and now they have nothing to do but to sit and swallow the food he gives. They are to pay his salary and attend on his preaching. And they think that is doing a great deal. And he, on his part, is expected to preach good, sound, comfortable doctrine, to bolster them up and make them feel comfortable. So they expect to go to heaven. I tell you, they will go to hell if this is their religion. This is not the way to heaven. Your righteousness must exceed those who are neglecting their salvation and replacing this with dead religious works, deliverance ministry, and prayers from a leader not preaching repentance from dead works. If you have heard truth and received conviction through any teaching, any time, you are blessed. Conviction or witness of the Spirit is necessary for you to recognize the rightly revealed word of truth that you need to receive with meekness. James said in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. This is in the book of James, chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay hold all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. Go without man's technology for periods of time. Slow down the speed at which you're making decisions, and you will hear God. Spend time daily hearing the Lord carefully. Rely on conviction and get the details for your repentance. Make sure you're in the Spirit at all times. In the morning, get the details you need from Him at the start of every day to overcome. James said in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of James, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James describes those imprisoned in the church by the devil, following their own lusts, making decisions quickly without asking God, just for the sake of earthly gain. The modern church today does not have time to listen or learn spiritually. They want a PowerPoint presentation and everything explained clearly so they can understand with their minds. With a confidence in the flesh, they are impatient and think they can learn everything without denying themselves and taking up their cross daily on the narrow way. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. This is 1 John chapter 2. Starting in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Those trying to serve two masters went out of the early church into the world. Today, those serving two masters are the majority attending the modern church. John warned the church that this world is passing away, and that those using their minds to make decisions will lose everything without processing conviction and seeking righteousness. Those in Ephesus who had a confidence in the flesh went into politics. John continued in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is in all those who do not believe in their hearts that Jesus came in the flesh and had no advantage over us. He stripped himself of his divine nature and never sinned by asking God everything. He was also able to function as the Word manifest in the flesh throughout his life on this earth because he was submitted to God completely. He did this with the power of the Holy Spirit that came from being led and controlled by the Spirit. Those making excuses for taking over the Lordship and sin do not believe in their hearts that Jesus came in the flesh and suffered doing the will of God. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 23 to 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in the introduction on page 9, Joseph Hedgecott says, John 10:27 says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. These scriptures confirm that when Jesus is your Savior, you have the opportunity to hear his voice and get to know him. The primary purpose of learning to hear his voice is to develop a relationship with him. He is your personal shepherd. There is no excuse for not using the gift of eternal life now to get to know God on the narrow way. It's only silent rebellion and love of your flesh that stops you from using this gift. Jesus does not cause anyone to doubt. Jesus was giving the Jews enough evidence so that they could be convicted and receive the testimony of the Holy Spirit, rather than say, I am the Christ. The miracles of God that Jesus performed by hearing his Father proved that he had no sin and was the promised Messiah. Jesus was accused of not speaking clearly, but his life was speaking volumes to those disciples who had ears to hear. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, this is in the book of Acts, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. The religious Jews were stiff-necked and preferred their dead-end, systematic approach to learning with man-made traditions and no conviction. Jesus even directed the Jews to the transformation in all those following him. Those who hear, get to know God and follow him using the gift of eternal life will never perish or end up on a way that seems right. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 40. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. Jesus wanted the Jews to study, but they were unwilling to come to the truth through the law and repent based on their bad fruit. you are stiff-necked too if you keep using your natural mind, trying to come to the truth and avoiding conviction for the sake of your flesh. If you come to the conclusion that God is the problem for your lack of spiritual growth, then you have come to the wrong conclusion. The Jews could not come to him because they resisted the Holy Spirit pricking their hearts. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. This is Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Conviction is a blessing, and repentance always leads to the peaceable fruit of righteousness. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you will realize that you have resisted the truth and believe not just one, but several lies for the sake of your flesh. When you get to the root issue and repent deeply, the peace of God will be restored and be maintained in all circumstances. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Paul was teaching spiritual things, producing conviction. We are only supposed to understand what we need to work on now, and trust God for the rest. Everyone is at a different level. Paul was not interested in making it easier for people using their minds to understand, as it would feed their flesh. In every church, he taught his ways in Christ so that people could follow his example and seek the lessons learned through conviction gained under pressure on the narrow way. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. The devil's not the problem, because he can only deceive those who want to be deceived and make decisions with their minds. Paul had no confidence in the flesh. You might be able to do something for the sake of your flesh and get grace. However, if you do not deny yourself and take up your cross daily to follow Christ, you will not finish your race and will fall asleep spiritually. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants, ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 12 on Practical Applications, on page 182, Joseph Edgecott writes, the belief that you are automatically in Christ simply because you are born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature, the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. Your righteousness is in Christ. However, when you are in the flesh, you are unrighteous. The period of time you are in the flesh contaminates the righteousness you gained when you are in Christ, so you must abide. Rome had knowledge of the doctrines Paul gave them, but they were not following his example. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The righteousness of the early converts, after being born again, far exceeded the pagan Roman world. However, they became comfortable with a shallow form of righteousness that did not include becoming a living sacrifice on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 24 to 30, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Those who do not believe in their hearts that the world is passing away get entangled again after salvation. It is normal for everyone in the world to dress in the morning and try to look good without asking God. You will never come up with anything as good as the flowers of the field if you do that. Those not using the gift of eternal life and getting his daily instructions for clothes and food have little faith according to Jesus. Since our righteousness is by faith, then those with little faith also have very little righteousness as well. James said in James chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. This is in the book of James chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, and that does well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The works you do every day confirm what you believe in your heart about God and his word. You should be living like a little child and trusting in God's thoughts coming to your mind to direct you, not consulting your natural mind. Jesus was speaking in Matthew's Gospel 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, starting in verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with God. Man was created a little lower than the angels, and now through being born again, you can represent him again and do his will on this earth. James said in James chapter 1, verse 18. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. In God's kingdom, Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. But now you become like him, starting with conviction. If things go wrong, you get convicted. And there's still time for you to repent and change. Just calling him Lord is not enough. The church of Ephesus failed to apply the apostles' doctrine, trying to serve two masters. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3. and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has laboured and has not fainted. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The church of Ephesus had learned all their doctrines from the visits of Apostle Paul. Also Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the Apostle John were living in Ephesus before John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. The church of Ephesus failed to make Jesus Lord, serve, and do everything out of love. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Liberty is not a license to do what you want when you want. This is not life, but the road that leads to destruction. Mankind was designed to serve. You were set free from sin to be a servant of righteousness. If that is not happening, then you are still asleep spiritually and self-righteous instead. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 37 to 44. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, starting in verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Verse 38, saying, Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Verse 34, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Verse 42, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now thou art hid from thine eyes. Verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee on every side. Verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. The religious Jews were looking for a powerful Messiah, or a political leader they could use or hide behind. The Jews received Jesus because he was popular, but they still wanted to promote their own form of outward righteousness through religious dead works. They had no desire to enter the kingdom of God through repentance. Jesus approached the Mount of Olives, the place where he will return at the second coming, when time runs out for the whole world to repent. He was brought to tears when he saw all his own people in Jerusalem still conform to this world with wrong priorities. He came there to set them free. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 8. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 2. But which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 5. That he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. Verse 6, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Verse 7, After that he was seen of James, and then of the apostles. Verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. The carnal Corinthians were spiritually asleep, and there was open sin in the congregation. They believed a lie that they could still use their minds to come to the truth. The leaders concluded that the resurrection of Christ had not taken place. They had chosen to believe something that was obviously wrong based on lies they believed for the sake of their flesh. Paul had to remind them that the resurrected Jesus appeared to him also. Paul was persecuting the church at the time and resisting the Holy Spirit himself on a way that seems right. If you are resisting the Holy Spirit trying to come to the truth with your mind, you will end up on a way that seems right too. Solomon said in Proverbs 14:12, this is Proverbs chapter 14, I'm reading verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but their end thereof are the ways of death. Solomon describes one of two roads that you can be on now that you're born again. Before salvation, you're on an evil road leading to eternal damnation. You were taken off that road when you accepted the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, came in the flesh and overcame sin by trusting God with all of his heart. You should have chosen to rely on his grace through faith, to follow his example on the narrow way, and receive the Holy Spirit according to your faith. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 13. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If you go back to the flesh, you will die. If you do not die, then God lied, and he's not a liar. Do not adjust the written word to fit your doctrine. Instead, adjust your doctrine to fit the written word. At salvation, you should have been convinced that the only solution for the condition of your soul is to make Jesus Lord. Before salvation, you were making decisions that suited your flesh. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now you have everything you need in Christ. As long as you abide in Christ, your life will change from one degree of glory to the next. Do not deceive yourself. If you have stopped changing, then you have come out of Christ. The only other way your life will stop changing is if you have reached the fullness of the measure and the stature of Christ that he has set for you. You have a freedom to use all things in Christ that God directs you to use, but only with his close supervision. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The devil has contaminated everything in this world through the love of money, and use man to hinder what God provided to relieve suffering on this earth. By making Jesus your Lord, you are wise, because only Christ is qualified to make the right decisions about everything in this world. He proved this throughout his life and in his death on the cross. Let him decide, as otherwise you will keep doing what you want and sin. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Thinking is dangerous. Just learn to hear, trust, and obey the Holy Spirit. There are only two operating systems, the flesh and the spirit. Choose the spiritual life and use the fact that you can ask God everything from now on since you're born again. Jesus described these two roads. in Matthew 7:13-14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. For more information about three roads, please read chapter 6 in the book Sound Doctrine by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to find the narrow way and enter the kingdom of God now before time runs out. It's not enough just to be born again. We know Jesus is coming soon because this world is passing away. And only those who hear his voice and obey get all the benefits of the kingdom of God in this period of time. Without these benefits, everyone else will struggle and perish. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds, and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. I say this to your shame. Those asleep are drunk, seeking a systematic approach for the sake of their own flesh, feeding their own ideas with theories about righteousness. By believing such lies about the resurrection, the Corinthians were willfully and disgracefully ignorant for the sake of their flesh. One reason the church is not growing today is because its leaders are using their minds trying to come to the truth. Jesus said in Luke 17:30-36. This is Luke 17:30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Verse 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff is in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Verse 33. Whosoever therefore shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Verse 34. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Verse 35. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Verse 36. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. The outward form of righteousness of two people in Jesus' teaching was the same. But those taken by him at his appearing had inward righteousness. This event is often referred to as the rapture. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:15. This is 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Some say there is no rapture. However, this would be contrary to what Joseph Hedgecock taught in his books, as he referred to this event many times. Some have used the argument that because the word rapture is not in the Bible, the teaching on the rapture is not biblical. The word Trinity is not in the Bible either, but does that mean that God is not revealed as three persons in the Bible? False teaching is spread by carnal Christians using their minds trying to understand the things of God. It takes a spiritual man about 3 seconds to come to the truth on any issue, asking the Spirit to bear witness. We read in the book of Acts 9:6-9. This is in the book of Acts 9:6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. When Jesus appeared to Paul, at that time called Saul, he knew what he had seen, and it was not just a vision or a dream. Paul needed time to repent of lies before reaping some serious consequences. In fear and trembling, the instructions of Jesus were a lifeline for him. He was made blind so that he could examine himself using the conviction he received. This was a blessing. He was helpless and could not look at anything else for 3 days. In this day and age, the devil uses modern technology like a cell phone to cause some distraction at a critical time of conviction. Everything Paul did after his encounter for the next 3 days would have been challenging because he was blind. When he arrived in the city, he waited until he was told what to do. Those were his instructions. He did not eat or drink anything until the person came. That was not Paul fasting, but rather waiting to be told if he could even eat or drink. He had no one to teach him. He chose to wait for the messenger God promised, and Paul believed that God could not lie. He was rewarded by his faith in God. Some people think it's extreme or foolish to do nothing until they hear an instruction from God. The problem is those who are carnal do not hear because their iniquities have separated them from God. He is faithfully transmitting his perfect will for every child of his, and most are unwilling to repent of the lies they already believe through conviction first. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 20 to 26. This is John's Gospel, chapter 4, starting in verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Verse 21. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Verse 22. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse 25. The woman said unto him, I know that when the Messiah comes, which is called Christ, when he is come, he will tell us all things. Verse 26. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The Samaritan woman had several husbands, and this was exposed, but she was not condemned. Jesus told the Samaritan woman plainly who he was, but he did not tell the religious Jews. Jesus reached out to her with the word of conviction, without doing a miracle. The miracles were for the sake of the religious Jews, so they could recognize that he was the Messiah, but they were not willing to change or accept his teachings. The brokenness through reaping the consequences of sin in the life of the Samaritan woman gave her ears to hear the word of truth. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This prayer was part of a major teaching of Jesus Christ. It was to become part of the righteous lifestyle of every disciple following Jesus on this earth. Rely on what God provides and do not seek to make anything more comfortable for your flesh. Disciples following Jesus experience that even their mistakes can work to their good since he is in control. They were told to forgive any outstanding debts that others could not pay. They were told to pray for big doors of opportunity to close or financial support to cease if there's any risk of temptation and falling from grace. Sin separates you from the power source, and the direction you need to do His perfect will. If you're still making the decisions with your mind, you do not believe this in your heart, and you do not have a solid spiritual foundation. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. This is Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Pray for God to provide food daily. If God provides something more than this, you know it's possible. It came from Him. You need to hear what God is saying throughout the day as well, so He can provide for you by His Spirit. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. This is Philippians chapter 4, and reading verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. We can get knowledge of Him personally by trusting God to supply all our needs. You will also get godly wisdom on the narrow way as He knows what is best. He is now your Heavenly Father, so ask Him to provide and direct everything. John said in 1 John 5, verses 5 to 8, I'm reading 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 5. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 John 5:5 says, who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact? You might say you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. However, if you are not overcoming the world, you do not believe. You may believe in your mind that Jesus is the Son of God, but you don't believe it in your heart. You need to wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 41 and 42. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm reading verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You may not have been given what Paul was given, but there is a righteous judgment at the end on those who have been given more. This is how the righteous judgment will be at the end. Jesus said, God's own people will be judged by heathen nations because they did not recognize His first appearing. If you are awake, you are alive to righteousness. A similar judgment is about to take place in the church on those who claim to see, just like the religious leaders, but have rejected the gift of eternal life. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. This is in the book of Isaiah 55 and verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Those not using the gift of eternal life have a lack of fruit. Their lives not changing is evidence that they have rejected spiritual learning and are using their minds instead to understand the things of God. Jesus said in John 10, verses 10 and 11. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd, but he cannot help those choosing ignorance by doing what they want when they want. Only his sheep will be ready when he appears. There are many that would love to know the truth Joseph Hedgecott has recorded in the book, My Sheep and My Voice, about getting to know God now, but they never got the chance. Those people hungry for truth around the world will rise up and judge those who had the knowledge of hearing his voice all the time and did very little with it. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 33 to 41. This is John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Verse 34. And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Verse 35. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. Verse 36. And he that reapeth receive wages, and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. Verse 37. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. Verse 38. And I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word. Jesus came, offering grace and truth to those willing to follow him. The Jews were not willing to overcome their pride and choose to live in darkness for the sake of their flesh. Jesus did not need any special prayers of blessing or his divine power to help the Samaritans believe, and they were apparently more worldly than the Jews. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Jesus overcame by not leaning to his own understanding, and doing everything out of love for the Father. He even demonstrated eternal life on the cross. Those who believe that eternal life is just living forever have also neglected their salvation. They believe that Christianity is just another religion and that they are saved by just saying a prayer. They ignore the instructions of the Holy Spirit or the need to hear his voice all the time. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 10, 27, 28 says, The sheep that are on my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I'll give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. To all eternity, they shall never by any means be destroyed, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. Joseph Hedgecott has a 3-book series called Wake Up, Time is Running Out. Volume 1 is on Foundations of Spiritual Maturity. Volume 2 is on Growing Up Spiritually. Volume 3 is on spiritual maturity. These books will help you overcome spiritual immaturity and escape the lust of the flesh. You should have woken up to righteousness when you first came to Christ. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. This is in the book of Acts chapter 17, I'm reading verse 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The word repent in Strong's is number 3340. It comes from some other words which means to think differently or afterwards, that is, reconsider morally, to feel compunction or repent. Everything God sends brings about repentance and a new life. There should be an appropriate transformation as a result. If you did not process the knowledge of God in reverence that he is giving, then your life will not change. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and from your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, since you are born again, the Spirit should be dwelling in you, unless you've been feeding the flesh. Start asking God in the small things. Let God direct you to areas for repentance, as he is the master builder and knows what is needed to set you free. Maintain a sin list to keep track of your progress. If you are working on one thing, you do not know how it affects other areas, but he does. If Jesus is your functional Lord, then the Holy Spirit is dwelling and alive in you and will expose what you need to work on next. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 21. This is in the book of Romans chapter 7. I'm reading verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Verse 17. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul was examining himself and found that something else was dwelling in him. In some areas where he was listening to God and could obey instantly, he was spiritual. He could not remove the carnal nature physically, but it was causing him to sin even more through the knowledge of the law. He also realized how through repentance and the lordship of Jesus Christ that the Spirit could dwell in him as well. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm just reading verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 6 and 7, Joseph Hitchcock writes, many Christians dream of being anointed by God and having the Holy Spirit abiding in them, directing and manifesting through them. They want to see Him do miraculous works through them. But very few see this happen. Those who do see it do not see it very often. I ask you, what are you most interested in? Are you focused on God's anointing manifesting in you, or are you more interested in the type of work He does through you? If the miraculous manifestations of the Spirit are more important to you than having a consistent anointing from God on your life, then your priorities are wrong. Christian energy or virtue is built upon diligently obeying the Spirit. You have the Spirit in you, but you must let Him have access to every part of your life. You are empowered by the Spirit as you obey the truth that God shows you. Do not seek more power so you can overcome just one area that you do not like. The power of the Holy Spirit was given to you so that you overcome the flesh with all its desires and agendas. You will not get any Christian energy without virtue and passing through godly sorrow and repentance. We read in John 8, verse 30 to 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, I'm reading verse 30. As He spoke these words, many believed on Him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Verse 33. And they answered Him, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. If you do not want to serve sin, start by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. You must believe that God will direct you by His Spirit, that He will speak to you even about the smallest of things. In the same way you walked after the dictates of the flesh, you are now going to respond to the desires and appetites of the Spirit consistently instead. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The purpose of the knowledge of God by grace through faith, delivered by the Holy Spirit, is to set you free. You determine whether the flesh or the Spirit is strong in you. The flesh and the Spirit are both operating systems. The flesh needs your mind, but the new nature relies on the Holy Spirit bringing thoughts to your mind. The flesh is based on common sense and reason, and the spiritual operating system is based on faith in what the Holy Spirit directs and puts in the mind. The mind is used in both systems, but in the Spirit you hear, trust, and obey. Either of the operating systems can become strong when you feed them. If the flesh is strong, you have been feeding it. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. This is the book of Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Many want to believe that they are automatically in Christ without following Him and do not experience His love consistently and suffer loss. Those who teach this are deceiving themselves and others. The lack of the fruit of the Spirit, when exposed to trials and difficulties, is also evidence that they are deceived. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Those following Jesus with a heart after God use the gift of eternal life in the presence of God, listen to the Spirit and learn to hear His voice and obey. They rely on the fact that they will not perish or be overcome by evil because they are doing the will of God and seeking His righteousness. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. When Joseph Hedgecourt was baptized in the Spirit and given boldness, he received the power of God to resist his flesh that was hindering him from doing what the Holy Spirit was telling him to do. He had to trust God with all his heart to face those drug gangs alone. John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, this is in Matthew's Gospel chapter 3, I'm reading verse 11, I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You do not get the power without the fiery trials that go with it. You have to believe that God is love and that the devil has no access to God. You are completely saved by diligently seeking and keeping his commandments. Paul said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. This is Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecourt. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecourt. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, then come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecourt. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition, by Joseph Hedgecourt. Today, I've been sharing about waking up to righteousness. You need to believe that God is on your side, that He loves you, He is not corrupt, and He's making the best decisions for your life based on all the evidence. He sees the end from the beginning. Jesus is Lord, and He proved that in His humanity. He did not sin by submitting to God and asking God everything. And you can do the same. When you live like this, you wake up to a new life of trusting Him with all your heart. Everything you do will be right because you're not leaning to your understanding anymore. I encourage you to choose righteousness. Let me pray with you right now. Father in heaven, for those who are listening to this message, I'm praying for them that they will embrace this lifestyle of trusting you, no longer leaning to understanding, and they will learn in their circumstances, wherever they are right now, even if it's humble circumstances, that Father, they will not struggle or strive to change or go after the things of this world. But they will use that situation, and God, you're going to accelerate their spiritual growth in the circumstance they're in right now. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you. And thank you for listening.